Hendry Show is brought to you by your local participating Nissan dealers.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The year of the private school is the year 2003 has been designated. Dean Wheeler is with us. He's the headmaster and president of James Hawk Preparatory High School in Northern California. Mr. Wheeler, why is there a need for a year of the private school? Okay, we need Dean, you there?
I'm right here, Phil. I didn't hear your question. I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much.
Why is there a need for a year for private schools?
Well, without being too political, Phil, the liberal agenda, I think, in this country has made it very clear that private schools are not high on their list of things to do. Public schools are what they support. And I think there are a great many wonderful public school teachers and people involved in the public school system, but the public school system has proven itself to be a failure. And we want people to know the quality of the teachers and the environments we have in the private school system. Our school has teachers that are fully accredited. We have all teachers with many with master's degrees. High schools that are public have many teachers that are not fully accredited. Many of those teachers have anger management issues and the possibility of criminal records. We do a thorough background check of all our teachers in the private schools, but I'm not sure they can say the same in public schools.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying that public schools have teachers with criminal... You're saying...
I'm not saying that all of them. I'm saying that there's no way of knowing, because what if just one child molester gets through the very flimsy screening process they do for public school teachers? I think it's something we'll all come to regret.
What else in terms of private school education? The food is better?
Oh, absolutely. We get top quality food from local co-ops and meat lockers and from vegetable co-ops. Public schools are getting their food from sources that are not entirely reliable.
Wait, like what?
Well, it's possible in the public school system you're getting foreign foodstuffs, unethical means of procuring food. A lot of times you don't know what really you're serving the kids. So it's very expensive, and it can be very troubling. We offer such a quality education as opposed to a public high school.
Well, here is the thing about a private school. Your tuition is $17,500 a year.
That is correct, yeah.
That is a lot of money for a family to afford.
The parents that we have at our school are very special. You don't find them in public school systems. Placing a child in our school proves that you care, and it's a testament to the people.
But what if they can't afford it? I mean, they may be people that love their kids.
We like to say, seriously, if you care about your child, you can afford it. You'll find a way to help keep your child out of a public school that may be exposing him to child molesters.
The message you're sending here, though, sir, is Mr. Wheeler, private school, my kids are in private school, but the message you're sending is that a public school, it's likely you're exposing a kid to a child molester?
Well, again, there are a great many wonderful teachers in the public school system. I just wonder, how safe really are our kids when you can get... the way they screen these people, the kids that are there, it's all very... And it's something liberals love. Let's remember that the liberals are the ones that have done this. And if a child molester or someone who has tortured or raped children becomes a high school teacher working in close quarters as a gym teacher with kids, the liberals seem to think that that's okay on the balance.
All right. Now the year of the private school was originally your concept, right?
Myself and Bill Prudent, we wanted to help the private schools with some funding, try to get some money for private schools, because the liberals, they don't want private education, they want public education. And we are really faced with a financial hardship at our school, at James Hawk Preparatory School, because the liberals have tried to keep funding away from private schools. And so the financial problem that we have here, and it also has been exasperated by three lawsuits that were in the papers, so it's not that I'm avoiding that.
The San Francisco Chronicle carries at least one story. Have you been sued personally?
I can tell you right now, we are facing three lawsuits that do involve me personally. Yeah, they are vindictive. They are hateful lawsuits. They've been filed by three women that I employed, that I gave jobs to. I helped them get their accreditation.
But were you personally involved with these women?
I mentored these women through the beginning of their teaching careers. Yes, we were involved. Yes.
Personally?
Yes, sir, we were. But their pregnancy has nothing to do with me. I was led to believe they were using birth control. And on June 24th, the court held for them and against me.
So the judgment was against you. Is that why the school needs money?
The school is, yes, we do need to settle these cases, which were brought by vindictive women who assured me that they were using birth control. This is all very personal, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with the quality of the education of the kids. But now the conservatives have been able to place women in our school who hit me with a paternity suit.
Well, you don't deny that you were sexually involved with these women. You don't deny the paternity of these children, do you?
I can tell you we're getting way off course here.
Well, okay, but you're saying you need the money to help settle this lawsuit.
We need the money to help settle the conservative attack on private schools. And if that's the message that I can get out, Phil, I that's the only message I want to get out.
All right, Dean Wheeler is with us. He is the headmaster of a private high school in Northern California that he says, along with other private high schools, faces funding shortage because the conservatives are not helping private schools. They're helping only public schools. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You state that private schools have better teachers. Public high schools may have, quote, teachers with criminal records, end quote. You state that...
That is correct, yes.
All right. You state that private schools have better food and better athletic facilities. Public schools do not?
Public schools don't have better food, and the athletic facilities are obviously very in short supply. And so with all of that, why are they punishing private schools? I'll tell you why. Because they want to find any chink in the armor to destroy the private schools because they're against people who can afford a better education for their children.
But you have been sued by three female teachers accusing you of the paternity of their children.
That is, you're making a larger issue out of that. That lawsuit was brought by these three women who vote Republican because they want to disgrace me publicly and hurt the reputation of John Hawk so that we don't get more students.
Are you looking, you want more students, more parents to send their kids there and pay the $17,000, $500 a year tuition?
Which, Mr. Henry, is very competitive with the private schools.
No, I don't doubt that. But these women that you were involved in and apparently fathered three children with are suing you for the support of their kids, which is only right, isn't it?
I think the timing is very suspect. I think that they are doing this as vindictive women who are Republicans who want to bring down the private school system.
So you want to get more tuition for the school in order to pay off this lawsuit and to support these three children out of wedlock? You know, that's what it is. You want more tuition for your school in order to support these three children out of wedlock.
I want more tuition for our school to help our school stay alive. Yes.
No. But you got to pay child support to three kids that you fathered
by three women who told me they were using birth control, and who were I didn't know they were Republicans.
Are you a liberal Democrat?
Oh yeah, I'm very proud of that. Yes, I am. But the conservatives. I mean, the liberals are trying to... I'm a conservative. They're liberal, and they're trying to hurt me. They're trying to hurt me by suing me.
You're a liberal, and they're a conservative.
Yes, sir.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Dean Wheeler, the headmaster of John Hawk Preparatory High School. And I just want to get...
I'm a conservative, and...
And they're liberal.
Yeah.
All right. And they are suing this man for paternity. He needs money, and I suspect it's for that reason. However, he says that the private schools are far superior than public schools because the food is better, the teachers are criminally screened better, the equipment is better, everything is better. And yes, it's expensive to send your kid to a private school. Yeah, it is. Very expensive. But look what you get in return. The only problem that I have is... He says they're facing a funding crisis when, in point of fact, he needs to pay off And you have the figures there? $50,000 per woman for legal expenses, plus $20,000 a year in child support for the three children that he fathered with these three teachers, who he says are vindictive conservative women just trying to ruin the school. Now, this is there's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on here. And while public schools may be superior to, or private schools may be superior to public schools, maybe they've got better education, and maybe they got better teachers, they're still very expensive. And I also don't see why that means necessarily that public school teachers may not be criminally screened better. But on top of everything else, this man has fathered three children by three of the teachers there, and he wants more students, more tuition, so he can pay off the lawsuits. Is it worth sending your kid to a private school over a public school? Do you think the teachers in public schools may have criminal records? 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And we're trying to do the very best that we can with the money that we have. But the liberals hate private schools. And liberals will do everything they can to destroy our wonderful private school and send children to these public high schools and force our kids to associate with what I call this sort of new hyper mall trash, these children that have no parental supervision, and of course the teachers in public high schools. You don't know if 2 weeks before they were in a halfway house for individuals who have sexual issues with minors.
But the public school system has got to do a better job of screening, and you say private schools do a better job?
We do a much better. I have a very dear friend who works as a clerk with the FBI locally, and he passes me information a lot. We know a lot. And then I get sued by these three women. This had nothing whatsoever to do. Now we're up against the wall. We need money.
But does the school need money or you need money?
We all need money. And
you're this paternity suit.
This suit isn't about, yes, I slept with these women. And yes, I had, I fathered these three children. But they didn't use birth control and they said that they were.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Private schools, are they superior to public schools? Are your teachers in public schools child molesters? And this man who fathered three children with three different teachers at a private school, is that really just a conspiracy against the school by liberals? Wendy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Reaching you from Key Largo, Florida.
Yes, ma'am.
That man can obviously only speak from personal experience. I, too, can speak from personal experience, having gone to a private school briefly up in Massachusetts many years ago.
Were you a student or were you a parent there?
Student.
I see.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay,
I think that makes a big difference. As a student, you really don't know you don't have the big picture as a student.
Oh, please. We all had our own checking accounts. It was a privileged upbringing, and all I can tell you is that it was a drop-off site in many cases for well-to-do parents who really just kind of needed to get on there with their own lives and
well, if you have
children
issues,
out from underfoot.
Wendy, if you have issues with your parents, you
I don't
need to
have any
those.
Issues with my
you,
parents
Wendy,
at all.
You need to address them.
Well, but as far as, like, the screening process at private schools, I personally feel as though in many cases many of the private schools that I was exposed to in the New England area back in the, let's say, 70s, were dumping grounds for teachers who couldn't cut it in the public sector, either because it was too stringent, to they couldn't follow rules and regulations. They
well,
were that little bit
that.
Off center, so that they were able to use the private school as an excuse to spread their wings and.
Well, I think the young lady, again, she saw this film from the perspective of a student. I have been in the private schools business for all of the 15 years that I've been.
Well, you're obviously not very bright. The fact that you believed three women who told you they were on birth control, my God.
This was a conspiracy against
us. Good Lord, I've got a bridge to sell you.
I'm sorry? What I'm saying is...
Well, what, conspiracy.
If I could just jump in. You have problems getting money for your private high school because you say the liberals hate private schools.
You know that,
that is absolutely correct, yes.
In New England, you know, most of the private schools in New England were getting tax breaks for taking, let's say, children from inner cities.
When you sleep with a man, and I don't mean to be personal, are you going to turn around and sue him for paternity?
No, because I'm not stupid enough to have sex with a man without a condom, without also being on a backup birth control, without also knowing the man better than having just going by his word.
So, in other words, it's my fault?
Absolutely.
And,
you need to take responsibility for this and get on with your
life. And the women didn't take responsibility.
Well, the women are taking responsibility. How is it that your personal problems with paternity are getting mixed up with whether your private school is getting funding?
Well, no, this paternity suit.
You don't need funding. The tuition should cover, if you spend your money wisely, the tuitions that these parents are paying should more than, it's a business. You run it like a business.
$17,500.
Well, but
you run
we
it like a business. Why should I subsidize?
We got hit with this lawsuit.
And that's your own fault. My God, you were promiscuous and not very bright along with it.
Excuse me, but
you had sex with three women who told you they were on birth control. How silly. In this day and age, I can hear my girlfriend's biological clocks clicking, you know, ticking a mile down the road.
You know, you're very precocious, and I could tell probably in high school, with all due respect, you were a pain in the ass to a lot of the adults around you because you had all the answers.
And you worked in the video department and were one of those strange kids who always had his hand in his right pocket.
Really? Well, if my hand wasn't in my right pocket, yours was.
Okay.
Yeah. See, Wendy and I, we know each other because we're the same kind of people, Phil.
Oh, my God. I'm going to shove a gun in my mouth if I'm the same way as you are.
You know that we're the same. We're the product of the private school education system, which is a wonderful system, because you slept around. I'm not allowed to.
He's calling me promiscuous.
Well, who are you speaking with, please?
My girlfriend who also went to private school.
May I speak with her, please?
No, I wouldn't subject you to her. You might get her pregnant. You're extremely fertile. You're very fertile.
Well, then perhaps...
Well, I feel that this is inappropriate conversation for my show right now.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. But I don't know how it is we got on your sex life, Mr. Wheeler, when we're trying to talk about the private school system versus the public school system.
The fact that I was sued by three women who are vindictive, liberal whores has a lot to do with why the private schools are under siege. And the public schools, we keep pouring money into hiring child molesters and gambling addicts and individuals not qualified. The public school system is destroying children and sending a kid to the private school. And I didn't sleep with children. I didn't sleep with students. I slept with teachers. And I need to make that a very, very clear.
All right. I think Wendy is gone. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And let's go over to Robert. Robert, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I think that this gentleman here obviously has other issues outside of having sex with these three women and needing money for his private school. I think he's using the... needing money for his private school as a scapegoat.
No, that's not true.
Keep his job so that he can pay for child support, you know.
That is not true.
And, well, that's the way it sounds to us.
You know, and the thing is also that $17,500 a year is quite a bit of money.
It is. It's a
I
lot
know
of money.
Very...
Can I ask, Robert, can I ask you to hold on? I'm sorry, we're up against the break, but you'll be the first out here on the other side. We're talking with Dean Wheeler. He is the headmaster of a private high school who believes that the liberals are destroying private schools for public schools where kids are at risk. He's also facing a paternity suit. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
One 800 949-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm talking with Dean Wheeler. He's the headmaster and president of John Hawk Preparatory High School in the San Francisco Bay Area. Now, tell me the story. You are talking about private school needing funding, and the liberals are keeping the money away from private schools. They're trying to get people to go back to public schools. And the story you wanted to tell me that illustrates how quality the education is in private schools is what?
Phil, it's a story that I think every parent should hear. I made a very profound mistake 5 years ago while I was the headmaster here at John Hawk. We had a high school senior. She was 18 years of age. She was legal in that respect. I got involved intimately with her. It was a terrible mistake. I am sorry. I apologize to her, and I apologize to her parents. And I'll tell you something. I got a phone call the next night from her father. His name was...
Okay, we edited that name because I really don't want you to.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. But you got a call from this girl's father. You were involved with this girl?
Yes. And he said to me, Dean, I want you to know something. The education that our daughter has gotten at your high school is so good, so quality, so wonderful from every standpoint that my wife and I can overlook your sexual indiscretion with our daughter. And I have a problem. I admit it. I have a sexual addiction. But that's how good the education is at our school that parents overlook the fact that sometimes a teacher slips and sleeps with one of the students, or sometimes a teacher slips and sleeps with the headmaster, and sometimes a teacher slips and forgets to use birth control, because our educational system is that much superior to public schools. And now imagine how good private schools are when parents would rather have their kids go there while the teachers may sleep with their kids than put them in a public high school where they have these low-class child molesters.
Well, wait a minute. A child molester? What do you call sleeping? Well, you say she was 18.
She was 18. Most teachers at public schools are unfit to teach from millions of standpoints, criminally, psychologically, psychiatrically, educationally. It's just they're senile. A lot of them suffer from advanced dementia. Many of them suffer from Parkinson's. It's unbelievable.
So the parents would rather you sleep with their kid?
No, I'm not saying...
You're saying that they forgave you having a sexual indiscretion with their 18-year-old daughter because the education's so good.
Yes, yes. And people need to know that.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler is our guest, the president of James Hawk Preparatory High School. Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just have one thing to say here. My wife's a public school teacher, and she happens to be one of the best. She teaches elementary. And listening to this guy, I've listened to your show before.
How do you know that your wife's one of the best?
Well, how do I know?
Yeah.
Well, I hear it from the parents. I see it in the kids. And I've been married to her for 20 years.
So? So what?
Well, so that means that I know she's one of the best. And to listen to this guy makes me sick to my stomach.
Sir, all I'm saying is the education that your kid will get at a private school is so
much
better.
Yeah, right. You go near my daughter, I'd shoot you. I don't care if she's 18 or 20.
Okay, so in other words...
She's at school to be taught, not to be screwed.
Her education's that important to you?
Oh, of course it is.
Well, then wouldn't you want her to get the best education possible?
Not from you.
So, in other words, you don't want her to get the best education possible?
Oh, she will, but not from you.
Where's she getting it? From your wife? Because you happen to think she... Excuse me, sir, but you don't sound like you have the most education in the world. So how do you know?
Well, I'm a college graduate. I've been in the service. I'm well-educated. I've been around the block. And listening to you just makes me sick to my stomach.
Well, I mean, the fact that you're saying, Mr. Wheeler, that parents don't care if you sleep with their kids...
What dumbass state did you get your education from?
Well, let's not insult my callers.
Well, I want to know, what college did he go to?
What, me?
Yeah, no, the guy standing behind you.
I went to State University in New York.
State University in New York.
Yeah.
Where's that?
In New York.
Oh, yeah. Figure it out, Mr. Education.
What city, I mean? I didn't mean the state.
Oh, Oneonta.
The only answer?
Oneonta. Do you know where Oneonta, New York is? State University of Oneonta? One of the biggest state universities in New York? One of the best?
Well, I'm not familiar with it. But if you say so, I guess you know everything because you say your wife's the best. But look,
well,
at what
she
I'm...
graduated from St. John's University with a master's.
Where's that?
And I'm sure if you're so smart, you know how good St. John's is in New York.
Where is St. I've heard of St. John's. I just don't know where it is. Where is it?
It's in New York State.
Oh,
St. John's University.
This guy cracks me up. Hey, Phil.
Well, you know something?
This guy cracks me up.
This man says he cares about his daughter's education, and yet, he doesn't want that child coming near me.
No, you bet that.
I have threatening me. Bastard.
Here is Sharon. Go ahead, Sharon.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
My daughter went to private school and also then in high school went to boarding school.
Yes, it's a wonderful experience.
I'm sorry?
It's a wonderful experience.
Well, yes, because she went to a wonderful school. Had she been in your school, I can guarantee you she'd be out of there.
Well,
I cannot understand why you don't understand that, you know what, education is definitely important. I paid heavily for it.
That's what I'm trying to get across to these people.
But you know what? It's real important moral values as well as education. And what you're doing is destroying all the moral values for these children.
No, I'm not.
And they are children. Even 18, it's still a child. Yeah, in the law's eyes, it's not.
Karen,
but you know what? A girl 18, you know,
can I say something? Karen and I had a wonderful relationship. I respected her. I didn't want her to hang around through the summer and I regret the fact that she took her own life, but her father, even after his daughter killed herself, he said to me, thank you for the education she got.
Oh,
wait a minute. Did this girl take her own life?
I mentioned that.
I didn't remember you saying that.
I didn't either. The first I've heard of this.
No. I made it very clear that I had an ill-fated love affair with a student, and she took her own life in July. You didn't hear me say that?
No.
But her father said, but thank you for the great education she got. That's how good it is at our school.
Oh, real good because his child's dead? What good does an education do when you don't even have your child?
It was a love affair gone bad. But had we not gotten involved,
can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 51.
And she was 18?
Yes, uh-huh. We have a wonderful recreation program. We do value the physical education of our children. Look,
I can tell you value it real well.
Well, I can tell what you think. I'm sure you think I'm the biggest horse's end that you've ever come across. But let me tell you something. I care about these kids deeply. I do have a sexual addiction.
Well, you have a sexual addiction to the point where a girl took her own life. And then you have a sexual relationships with not one, not two, but three different teachers at the school who sue you for paternity, which has put the school in financial risk, and you're coming up here and saying you need money.
Because these liberals don't like private education. Sharon, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I can't believe this man has come on radio to and the story gets, you know, I mean, this little girl took her life.
So what?
What do you mean, so what?
No, I'm not saying so what in that sense. I'm just saying, what, am I going to bring her back? I can't bring her back. I'm not Jesus. I can't
no,
say
you
rise
used
up.
Her, and she, you destroyed
her,
sir. You
her
don't get it.
Father and mother, I talked to them at the funeral. We hugged. They said, you know something, you were a great thing for her.
Are they aware that you were having an affair with their daughter?
Yes.
And are they aware that this girl took her own life as the result of your relationship with her?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
You're pretty sure? And they hugged you at the funeral and said, gee, thanks for being in our daughter's life anyway?
You know something, Phil? Even a shooting star that shoots across the sky for a very short period of time, oh, how bright it burns. And you know...
What is this, Blade Runner? Sir, don't give me your poetry.
You know, you're just a sick man. I hope you get the help that you need.
You know something, Sharon? There was a song, Goodbye Norma Jean. Though I never knew you, I felt that I did. And it seemed to me you were like a candle in the wind, never knowing which way to blow when the wind blew in. But I would have liked to know you, but I was only a kid. And
well, you're butchering the lyrics of that, too. Sharon, thank you.
Thank you.
Here is Diane. Diane, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
This is the first I heard that this poor girl killed herself, too.
Oh, my God.
This guy is lunatic. He reminds me of his... I'm questioning whether to even believe him, because I would have to just see it for myself to believe that a parent would embrace this lunatic. And this totally explains... There probably is a little more why this girl had to kill herself, because I think something's goofy with her father and mother, too.
Oh, my God.
And there is no way that we should ever have to compromise our children to get a good education or to get anything for them. We don't have to do that, and we shouldn't have to do that. And I really think this man is either making this up to bring the point of public education versus private education.
Why would I do something like that?
Because
obviously.
He used to do the same thing.
Well,
to
Diane,
enrage,
obviously.
Get the topic on the table.
Obviously.
So we can discuss private versus public. I think you either are a lunatic if this really happened, or.
I'm not proud of any of these things. I'm not proud of any of these things, and I made that very clear.
You should be locked up.
Locked up for what? Because
well,
I was, I'm an
what?
People think
well,
that our school.
For a 51-year-old, you are supposed to mold their minds, not their bodies and their sexual life. You should not be teaching. You shouldn't have anything to do with the young people. You are a deviant, and the parents don't ever think that that set of parents represents an opinion of the majority of parents who all of a sudden can do it. They did, and say private education is more important than my daughter's chastity, than my daughter's emotional well-being, than my daughter's morale.
Ma'am,
an exception to the rule.
Ma'am, do you know what you sound like to me with your bad cell phone and your liberal opinion?
I'm not on a cell phone.
You sound like a rube.
I'm not
a well-scrubbed hustling rube.
I'm not on a cell phone.
Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but I bet you're not too far removed from two generations of poor white trash.
Oh, please.
And oh, how the boys
please.
Found you, Diane, with
this,
all their sticky, tired fumblings
this
in the back seats of cars. When all you could think about was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the end.
This guy is a maniac.
You are a sick person.
He's a maniac.
You on the radio.
He's a mental case.
Why do you even have him on the air? We have other good things to discuss, and I can't believe you'd put this sick person on the air.
Hey, Diane, listen.
Yes, sir.
I'll bring it up. We can vote on it.
All right. He's a moron. Thank you very much, Diane.
Yeah. How could you even put him on the air?
I'm sorry. We thought it was this thing called Private School Week, and, you know...
Well,
the school is being sued, and this man obviously, I bet you they don't even know he's in the office using their phone.
Yeah, something's wrong with him, really.
It's to my way of thinking, and
shut up.
He should just get off the air.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, okay. Take care. Bye.
And Diane, hold on for a minute.
Yeah.
What are you doing for dinner?
Never mind. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Born again. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The voice of Dean Wheeler was me. People that called, real people. Unpaid, unprompted. We have our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. Just go on in and find something you're looking for. Great way to shop for someone's birthday or anniversary. The Phil Henry Souvenir Shop, Ted's of Beverly Hills shirts, Western Estates tote bags, Jay Santa Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirts and pouch jackets and travel mugs. And we've got everything, man. Just go to our souvenir shop, www.philhenryshow.com. Flashback, we had Vernon Dozier on a high school, actually he was a high school coach who coaches youth baseball and said the death of a kid from the heat at his camp was really not his fault at all, but his mother who made him soft, and people didn't like that.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay, I just wanted to tell this guy he's a male chauvinist pig. He has no respect for women.
Yes, I do.
And no, you have none. You can tell you have no respect for a woman. I raised four kids, and they went through football and won a state championship. And
did the team win?
They had them, huh?
Did they or did the team win a state championship?
Well, I'd say single. There was two of them. They were twins. I would say single-handedly. One was a quarterback. One was a running back. I think they pretty much. I mean, there was a team effort, but they were pretty much out there in front.
And you had a husband who helped you, though, see?
No, I don't. That's what I'm saying.
Did they have uncles? Did they have uncles?
No.
Did they have? How about the boyfriends you had coming over to the house at all?
I had no
boyfriends. That is totally disrespectful, okay? Please watch your watch your language, Donna.
She just said the S word. She said the S word, and you're telling me to be disrespectful?
Because the lady was angry. And
the lady was angry. So she gets to say the S word, but you're yelling at me.
Yes, sir,
I
am.
I said that.
You're saying you got boyfriends over at all hours.
This kid was so...
I have no boyfriends over in any hours. In their lives, and they produce.
All right,
they just have no respect for
Me apologize. Let me apologize to you, Mr. Henry, to Donna. I want to apologize. And I'm sorry. Let me break the ice with a joke and to tell you what I'm up against. The boy that I was dealing with, the boy who died from a heart attack, was so fat that when he stepped on the scale, it said one at a time, please. Do you like that?
No, I don't, sir. We're talking about a dead boy.
It doesn't make any difference how heavy anybody is.
Did you think the joke? Let's forget that. Did you think the joke was funny?
No.
No, we don't. We're talking about
funny. Period.
See, and this is why I got a problem with women.
You have a problem with women because somebody raised you. Women.
Oh God! They're out to castrate you morning, noon, and night.
Well, you've got issues that you need to deal with really bad.
Mr. Dozier, I have to ask you, the report here from the school district is that when you were having the boys doing wind sprints, you were physically aroused. Is that correct?
You know something?
Mr. Dozier, I need an answer, yes or no. The report was that you were physically aroused as those kids were doing wind sprints, yes or no?
Adrenaline sometimes makes a man, you know, show it in his pants, yeah. Hello?
Yes. I totally think...
Can you believe that?
No.
You were... You're sexually aroused when you're watching kids doing wind sprints?
And they're continuing to let him be a coach?
So I'm not allowed to have normal physical reactions to things.
That's not a normal physical reaction?
Sure.
Getting aroused when you're watching kids doing wind sprints?
I like sports, and I like baseball, and I love baseball, in fact. I love it so much that, yes, I get aroused.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Well, I busted a guy for trying to sell shoulder-mounted, shoulder-fired missiles here in the United States. But you know what? We're probably all just overreacting, aren't we? Yeah, you know, that 9/11 thing, well, that was then, and this is now. And the United States has no tangible evidence of this, that, something else. And, you know, we're all going to heaven in a pea-green boat. Like I said yesterday, I ain't forgotten. You see, here's America reminds me, when I read books about the country after the Civil War, for instance, when there were some people still hanging on to the old South, and they still thought that there was a chance there would be a Confederate States of America, and they still thought if they could just get General Beauregard and a couple of the other cats together, maybe they could still make the big push and get Jeff Davis back in there, and they'd still have it. And they hadn't realized that a momentous event had taken place of biblical proportions, an event that forever sealed the fate of the United States. it was the true birth of this country. It was a moment in history that is still, the reverberations are still being felt. It was truly the birth of the United States, not the Declaration of Independence, the Civil freaking War, brother. The people today who talk about, you know, we're in Iraq and it's an immoral presence and an immoral war. Oh, God, can you please bring up something other than those Vietnam-era cliches? Oh, my God. Do you realize how much you show your age? An immoral war. There hasn't been a more moral war in the last 50 years. The war in Iraq, immoral? There hasn't been a war that has been more morally sound in the last 50 years than the war in Iraq. But these are people who are still hanging on to the lamppost of September the 10th. They still think it's the 60s. They're still getting off their little Vietnam era cuties. They're still getting off the, you know, what do we want? Peace. When do we want it now? Oh, my God. I remember shouting that in MacArthur Park back in 71 when I was 19. It seemed like the thing to do then, but now? Why don't you get one of those funny-looking hats that Francis Ford Coppola's got, you know, those beanies, and walk around with the gray beard and, you know, pretend like you're 18 again. Just give me a, put a cigarette in a cigarette holder and have a latte and just pretend like you really connect with the world's underprivileged. What the average American has in common with the average Iraqi is what? We breathe somewhat of the same air. That's about it. So don't start telling me you know what it's about over there. And we're crapping in the Iraqis' neighborhoods like that typical email I read the other day, typical of so many that I get. Crapping in the neighborhood, huh? Saddam Hussein, no, he was a real sweetheart. Why don't you guys just come right out and say it? You love Saddam. You wish he was back in there because he did business with your best buddies over there in France. That means you guys can get back over to Paris, have yourself a latte or whatever that crap is they drink on a sidewalk cafe on a Champs-Élysées, maybe make love to a Frenchman who doesn't bathe, and you'll feel just all intergalactic and intercontinental. So some guy's over here trying to sell Stinger missiles, and if the FBI hadn't been on it, he would have sold it to somebody who maybe wasn't all that friendly. So we're over there trying to neutralize a part of the world which manufactures this kind of terrorism, originates this kind of terrorism, and exports it into our part of the world to kill us, and then we're over here working our asses off trying to bust them while they're here, and meanwhile we got the bourgeoisie in this country, the petite bourgeoisie, who love to sit back with their thumb parked up their rear end and just, you know, dunk pound cake and sniff scented handkerchiefs and talk about how America is such a fascist state. You know, and let's be a human shield for about a week. And then it's, you know what, the Hilton over here doesn't take my MasterCard. I guess maybe we better go back to America. So thank God for the FBI popping this guy, who was selling a shoulder-mounted missile that could take down a commercial aircraft like Grant took freaking Richmond, brother. Say goodbye to your, mom, dad, wife, brother, whoever the hell's taken off there in the airplane, because in about 14 seconds, kablooey. Some raghead's off in the weeds with a shoulder-mounted missile, and you know what? And the sad part is, in this country, is we still have these debates blaming each other. We're blaming ourselves. This is the most tragic thing, in my opinion, that's happening right now. The families, some of the 9/11 families, the coalition of 9/11 families, are going to stage a demonstration. It's going to be a rally on September 10th to protest plans for rebuilding where the towers touch the earth. Can I say something here? And I don't want to sound insensitive. I really don't. But don't you understand, you guys that are members of the families of the people, family members of people who died on 9/11, don't you realize there's nobody here is your enemy? There's nobody in America that is your enemy. There's nobody in America that wants to do anything that would even remotely disgrace the memory of those people. There's no one in this country that wants to hurt you or disgrace the memory of your family. You don't need to stage a freaking protest. Has everybody got freaking protest fever around here, man? What is it? These cats, you didn't get your jollies off during Vietnam or during the civil rights era? You didn't get your cookies off, man, during the whole women's liberation? Everybody got to have a sign? What are you protesting? Nobody wants to disgrace anybody. There isn't a human being alive in this country with even 5 cents worth of a conscience that would do anything where the World Trade Center once stood to dishonor, disgrace, or not perfectly and with the best of intentions memorialize the lives of those people. We all want to do the very best thing. You don't have to stage a ding-dang protest, people. Why don't you protest the cats that brought those planes down, man? How about that? How about doing this? Why don't you stand in front of wherever the Iranian special interests are served in this country and protest the fact that the Iranians won't turn over al-Qaeda suspects to this country, people part of an organization that murdered 3,000 Americans. If ever there was a RICO case, that's the one, baby. Racketeer-influenced corrupt organization. Al-Qaeda. Top of the list, murdered three, even the mafia on their best day never approached that number. The best day La Cosa Nostra ever had, they never even got close to 3,000 guys. St. Valentine's Day Massacre was a big one, and what was that, 15? 12? I don't know what the hell it was. Even on the mafia's best freaking day, they never came close to waxing 3,000 people. Al-Qaeda did, though. And they did it without even breaking a sweat. Sure, 19 guys burned up, but what's that between friends? That's fine. That's the way they do business. They murdered 3,000 Americans without even breaking a sweat, and I got these poor, misguided families of the 9/11 victims are going to protest plans for the freaking... Oh, come on. Get a grip. Get a grip. If you want to put your hands around somebody's throat, put your hands around the throats of these Iranians that won't turn over these guys. And then they said, we won't turn them over to America because, America's a piece of crap. And it's just the worst thing that's ever happened to the world. And the people of America, we're how terrible we are. I mean, we're second only to Nazi Germany. You know that. You've heard that one, haven't you? Sure, America's the great Satan. We're just like Nazis over here. So what they're going to do is instead of turning over the al-Qaeda guys to us, they're going to give them to the Saudis. Now, I think what's going on is that raghead that runs Iran, that Khatami or whatever that dumbass mullah's name is, he knows which side the bread the butter's on. He doesn't want to do anything politically that is going to make him look like a horse's you-know-what. So he has decided, he's probably said behind the closed doors to the Americans, I can't give them these guys to you. It's going to look bad to all of my other raghead friends. So I'll turn them over to the Saudis, and you guys can deal with the Saudis, to which the Americans have probably said, okay, fine. But the Saudis, if they don't turn them over, then the proof will be in the pudding. What we've always said will finally come true, that the Saudi Arabians, they're the most backstabbing bunch of sheetwares. I mean, since Casper the Friendly Freaking Ghost. And he was the backstabbing sheetwearer I ever knew. Actually, Casper, I'm sorry, man. You're okay with those friends of yours. You want to protest something? Protest the people that murdered your family. They murdered them. We got guys in Iraq right now doing something we should have done 10 years ago, neutralizing and subduing a part of the world that has been nothing but a spot of manufacture and proffering of terrorism against our country and against people that are friends of ours. They hate our guts. They want to kill us. Saddam Hussein was friends of theirs. He helped fund them. He helped train them. Anybody that doesn't know that doesn't read a newspaper. Anyone that doesn't know that doesn't read. So we're over there taking care of some business. Our guys are taking casualties. Some GIs are being killed. It's the price of doing business. I'm not over here sitting on my ass and sitting on my laurels and saying, boy, ain't life sweet. I know what those guys are doing. I appreciate every bloody day what those cats are doing over there. Every day I see GI killed, it's like a knife right to the heart because we realize we got a long road to hoe. And in this country today, 2003, ask yourself the question, the American people got even ball one for it? Have we even got the intestinal fortitude for just a nice, healthy dump, let alone 2 years of trying to keep this part of the world from rising up again and butchering up another 3,000 people? Or is it just a blip on the screen and let's get back to the good old 70s? Let's get back to just sticking our nose in a line of coke, huh? You know, if 9/11, if the war in Iraq hadn't happened, half of these people, these like Jerry Garcia wannabe, ponytail in the back, bald head on the top people, what would you be doing with yourselves? You'd still be teaching yoga? You'd still be stretching out on a yoga mat someplace, I'll bet, teaching deep breathing. Now you can really sink your teeth into something special, huh? The illegal and immoral war in Iraq. Oh, my God. If ever there was a war that was more decent and more morally conducted, by the way, more morally conducted There's more GIs dead than Iraqi civilians. And they can publish all the dead Iraqi babies on the internet that they want. I mean, the anti-Iraqi war people love dead Iraqi babies because every one of them makes a good photograph that can put it on the internet and prove their stupid and insensitive point. They couldn't care less about dead Iraqi babies. Their whole trip is a political hard-on for George Bush. Hey, man, I'm not a Republican, but I know what right is. And I know when you're right, okay? I'm not playing politics here. Unlike my good friends over here at the Fox Network, your conservative voice, they're suing a very funny man named Al Franken because he's too funny. And he got it right. That they're a bunch of right-wingers, they're not fair and balanced, they're a bunch of fascist, goose-stepping, transparent jackasses over there who apparently think their stuff doesn't smell at all, and now because somebody took a really good shot at him, they're suing the guy. So now you know what the Fox News Network is all about. Take a shot at him, they'll sue you. They're vicious, they're ignorant. They're led by a pack of white-skinned, red-haired jackasses. They got a black man on that network. They don't have a black woman, black man, Hispanic, nothing. Oh, I think they have one Hispanic woman. They're the biggest pack of racists and fascists, and now they have their own news network. Good for you. Great. Does that mean you got to sue people who disagree with you? Oh, by the way, I'm in conversation with Fox. I'm just kidding. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be taking phone calls for the next hour and a half or so. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We got a couple of things from the sports file tonight. One of them has to do with the bloodsuckers that built the Eagles Stadium back there in Philadelphia. I don't know, but apparently you can't do anything these days. You can't build a ballpark without sucking off the public, and then, of course, you never do it right, and there's complaints back in Philadelphia about the way they built that ballpark. There's no wheelchair, handicap access parking. There's not enough. But what do the Eagles care? They got their stupid stadium. The other story is almost too incredible to even begin to talk about. It's incredible. Not that the story itself is incredible. The story itself is interesting. But the response among my sports talk radio friends has been hysterical. They have been running around hysterical like Girl Scouts telling ghost stories. They're crazy because Ted Williams, anybody know who Ted Williams was? My son Chris is here today, and Chris is 13. Chris, you know who Ted Williams was? He don't know Ted Williams. Ted Williams was a ball player, man, back in the 40s, and he was a good ball player. But he got old, like we all will, and he died. And after he died, apparently Ted Williams or the son or somebody in a family believes in cryogenics, which is the process where they freeze your body with the hope that perhaps they can restore you to life at some point in the future once they find a cure for whatever the hell it was that killed you. And I suppose the process involves some rather gruesome procedures, one of which is decapitation. Well, you would have thought that this was the most horrible, that they were nailing Jesus to the cross one more time. I'm listening to this guy last night. He's screaming and yelling about Ted Williams' son. These are the same guys. These are the same guys that just don't believe Kobe could have ever done it. Hey, look, I don't know whether he did it or not, but to say I don't believe he ever did it. These are the same guys that don't even so much as think for a second that a woman may have been raped. It's all about his endorsement money. These are the same cats who are going ape on Ted Williams' family because maybe somebody froze his body here and stuck his head in a preservative jar over there on the shelf. Whatever, man. Ted Williams played baseball, as far as I know, and he played it pretty good. And as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't amount up to a ripple in a toilet bowl. So he hit a baseball good. He ain't paying my bills. He didn't pay my rent. He ain't paying my car payment. I never even saw the guy play baseball. I've seen some black and whites of him. And whatever. had on that baggy-ass uniform they used to wear. See, what they're saying is, well, maybe Ted didn't want to be frozen, and maybe he did not consent to having his head cut off and stuck in a jar, and maybe, just maybe, it was forged. And this is the big thing. That along, let's rehabilitate Pete Rose, a addicted gambler, a real slob. A real slob. Let's call a spade, Rose. Wherever you are, and I'm sure you're listening to this show, yeah, right. You bet on baseball. The sign says no betting on baseball. What are you, stupid or something? You must be. You must be so stupid that it breaks all records. The sign says can't bet on baseball. Every clubhouse in America has a sign, Major League Clubhouse, sign, don't bet on games. Doesn't say don't bet on your team. It doesn't say you may not bet on other teams. It just says don't bet. You're not allowed to. It's against the rules of baseball. You don't get to do it. Well, maybe Pete Rose, you know, they're making excuse after excuse for this guy. He's a freaking lame brain. They talking about that? No, they ain't talking about that. They want to get him back into the Hall of Fame. They talking about Kobe and another disgrace. One in an almost an endless river of disgrace after disgrace and insult after insult upon the sports fan of America, and we're all supposed to just take it in stride and chuckle about it because the game's more important. That stuff, they don't care about. But Ted Williams, because somebody's cryogenically freezing him, and maybe he didn't want to be, this is the big thing they're talking about. He's croaked, you dig? Which means he ain't around no more. He is, as Monty Python would say, the late Ted Williams. He has expired. He is singing with the choir eternal. He's rung down the curtain. He is dead. He is the late Ted Williams, you know. So he ain't even around anymore, man. Whatever they got frozen in a tank over there in Scottsdale, Arizona, is a hunk of meat. A hunk of meat. And the head they got in a jar, whatever. Apparently you got to take the head off and stick it over there and put the body over there and then you connect them back together when you find out what's wrong. I don't know anything about it. And they think that they're dealing with the body of Jesus himself. They think they're dealing with the body of the, whoever, Lenin, Stalin, McCartney, Marx, as in Groucho. Do yourselves a favor. Do all of us a favor. Why don't you get out of the business of sports radio and take that gig with your wife's father, hustling insurance? I think you'd be good doing that. Give the job to somebody else. Somebody who's actually going to start investigating some real stories, start calling out the world of sports, and start pressing ahead into the 21st century instead of this phony baloney issues you guys got going on. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. East of the Rockies. West of the Rockies. If you're in the Rockies, you know the drill. And now, Art Bell.
And thank you, Ross Mitchell, and thank you, America, everyone. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are. Good night, good day. Ships at sea, in the mountain, to the desert, to the sea, to all of Southern California. A very pleasant good evening. I'm Art Bell, and we are going to rip the lid off of what could be the most controversial and bizarre story, and don't I sound like G. Gordon Liddy, that you've ever heard. Looking up our faces. Ted Williams. His head has been removed from his body in order to extend his life. That was done by his son at a cryogenics lab in Scottsdale, Arizona. And in a moment, and I really think this is a radio first, in a moment, we will talk with T. Ted Williams' head. But first, this word from Peenemann Enterprises. Friends, it's only a matter of time before terrorists strike again and murder thousands more, and it's also very likely some of the dead will be members of your family. That's why you should try new fire-brewed Stoneham beer. It's a great-tasting lager with a clean, crisp taste, and it's made entirely from your own urine. That's right, no longer will you be without a cold bottle of suds while you're dealing with the deaths of everyone around you. Just pop open a bottle of Stoneham beer and drown your sorrows. Made from the urine of alpine skiers, Stoneham beer is just what you need when Al-Qaeda comes calling. It's new from Peenemann Enterprises.
And now Art Bell.
Thank you, Ross Mitchell. And we have on line one, on our wild card line, the head of Ted Williams. Now, I'm given to understand this is only the head, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's still Ted Williams.
You are Ted Williams? You consider yourself to be Ted Williams?
Yes. I'm the head, but I'm Ted Williams.
All right, but the body is...
No, the body was cut off. It's not here. I'm the head.
And you're talking to me from...
From inside of a jar at the cryogenics lab. I already talked to your producer about all of this.
I want to be clear. Now, your head was last seen on the body of Ted Williams.
But it was my body. My body.
Am I speaking to the body or to the head?
You're talking to the head. I'm the head. It was my... What, do you want to talk to the body?
I would like to get corroboration from the body.
Well, what are you going to talk to, the ass? Who's going to be talking for the body?
Well, that is a good point. All right, let me just... Can I call you Ted, or should I call you Ted's head?
You can call me Ted. You can call me Ted.
Is this Ted Williams?
Yes. Jesus. You know, Bell, they told me you were thick. But,
All right, well, I just want to be clear. We are listening, and if you look at my website, you'll see the head of Ted Bell... And propped up next to the head, holding it up as a glass, that's a glass of beer, is a cell phone propped up against the ear. That is you.
Yes, that's me. I had one of the people here at the lab just prop the phone up because I, you know, I'm just a head right now, but...
All right. Tell me how all of this happened. Tell me, how do you feel about being just a head and being cryogenically frozen?
Well, I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No. What's to like? I'm a head. I don't like it, and I'd just as soon die. I don't need anybody to extend my life.
So you're not interested, Mr. Head?
Will you just call me Ted Williams? You have to call me Mr. Head. Okay?
The Splendid Head?
Not the Splendid Head.
All right, so you are... I hear you're getting a head life, by the way.
Okay, one more joke.
I'm sorry, I just had to... I just...
Yeah, one more of those and you're out.
All right, so let me just say, Mr. Williams, that you were cryogenically frozen, and then the head was severed from the body.
Yeah, yeah, that's about it. And apparently what they're going to do is try to find whatever killed, the cure for what killed me.
What did kill you?
I was old, you know, and if they ever find a cure for that, so they can, you know... So, I don't know. I just,
By the way, what do you want for your birthday? A hat?
All right. One more joke like that.
I'm sorry. So, explain to me, Mr. Potato Head, what does it feel like?
All right, go straight to the living hell.
Art Bell has been blown off by Ted the Head.
I'm Art Bell, and we'll see you tomorrow night with another strange, weird, and entirely predictable tale from beyond. Pardon me, I have to go to the head. Hey, guess what? This is a shock. You're not going to believe it, but Bill O'Reilly has a porn star on his show. What a sick... twisted, perverted, sad man he is. Why don't you just come right out, man, and tell everybody you got the largest collection of adult films in New York. You pervert. Every freaking day this guy's got on some porn star talking about child porn. He's particularly interested in child porn. He's got on everything having to do with sex. He's got him on there. This is his 451st porn topic this week. You know something, man? You know, and he's sitting at that desk, is just going, because it keeps hitting underneath. You know, he's, tell me, when did you get into the business, huh? God. You know what? I bet you the cat ain't even wearing any pants with that coat. He's just sitting there nude from the waist down. Sad case. Just a sad, twisted case. Yeah, I know. Your producer told you it's really hot stuff. Hey, let me tell you something. What's happening here, and I got to, you guys, you'll understand this. Now, listen to this. We have a recall campaign that's going on in this state because everybody said that that's what's best for the state. Well, guess what? 258 dumbasses have filed to run for governor of the state of California. You think that's democracy in action? Let me tell you what that is. It's 258 dumbasses trying to screw the system up. They can't get all these names on the ballot. It's going to cost over $100 million to conduct this election. And why is that? Because some self-aggrandizing, stupid, jackasses. A couple of them are in radio. One of them's a porn actress. People who have no intention of being governors of the state of California are got their names in the mix now, and so they're, you know, they're completely balling the system up. And if they really cared about the state, if they cared at all about their... See, a lot of these people don't even come from California. They blew into town on the turnip truck to become a movie star, to become a big DJ, or whatever they were going to be. They come from all over the country. I don't know how many of these people are native Californians. We got a guy running for governor of the state that comes from freaking Austria. We have no more Californians. There used to be a time when the guy that ran for governor in this state was actually born here. Everybody, we got this freak, this Angeline. What a sad, you know, Angeline, honey, whatever money you've made, take it and just go home now. Go home now. You're pathetic. You look really strange. You know, you look old. I don't want to tell you. I mean, you just do. You look old. And she's running for governor. Then we got some local disc jockey, the poor man, who's trying to keep his career alive. He's trying to artificially resuscitate his career, trying to keep that thing on life support. He's running for governor. And he doesn't care because he's such a freaking ego case. He doesn't care how it screws things up. Then we got a porn actress who I think is who this clown is interviewing right now, because it's good for her career. Then poor little Gary Coleman, he didn't want to run for governor. Some dumbass threw his name into the ring, because people are still kicking Gary Coleman around. They still think he's a joke. You know what? Gary Coleman's a pretty smart guy. He's a very bright guy, and he knows far more than people think he does. He knows he's the butt of these jokes. He's been ripped off by his own parents, ripped off by the television business, pushed around by that fat, stupid fan that wanted his autograph when the poor guy's trying to make a living as a security guard because people have stolen every nickel the guy ever had. Some big, fat, ignorant fan. And Gary, you know, the cat's running with the publicity. That comic Gallagher, who's never been funny in his entire life, never, ever been funny. It's hard to imagine that a guy can make a living as a comic and having never been funny, but he gets just enough people sitting in the front row who love to get, you know, they like to have watermelon guts thrown all over top of them. You dig what I'm saying? Like, in other words, if you think dropping a watermelon off the roof of a house is funny, see, I think it's cool. It looks neat when it hits the site or the pavement, but is it funny? See, and I understand, Gallagher, that you need the publicity. You can sell out that third show at the country fair. So, you know, we'll really try to help you out there at the Orange County Fair, man. He's over at the, you know, the corn dog stage. And Gallagher will be tossing watermelon guts on people. He's just a riot, this cat. So this is what's going on. Just before the puppet show, right, that's right, ma'am, yeah. When's Gallagher? Yeah, right before the puppet show, right over there near the boiled cheese stage, and,
Thank you.
All right, yeah, you and your brother, oh, I'm sorry, your husband? Oh, you mean the same. Okay, go right ahead. So he's running. Anybody and everyone who needs that 15 minutes of fame, that desperate 15 minutes of fame, they're running for governor of the state of California. In the process, we're all made jokes out of. The state's very real problems are continue to go downhill. I frankly think the only sensible guy saying anything is Davis. Because the freaking Republican Party, what they got, what are they offering up? Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's what they're offering up. So thanks a lot, everybody, running for governor. Thank you very much. From a native Californian, I was born and raised here. Thanks so much for screwing my state up and making a joke out of it. I wish half of you jive-ass mothers would just turn right around and go back to the hole you crawled out of and leave this beautiful place behind, because you know what? If we had about, say, oh, I don't know, 20 million less people in this state, it'd be fine with me. And I hear they're actually starting to leave. Good. Leave the freaking beaches to the real people. Got every scumbag coming out here. Just take a walk down Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard. You think anything's changed in 30 years? The same toilet. And now the process of selecting a governor for the state has turned into the biggest international joke the world has ever seen, and California, once again, right there smack in the middle of it. The land of fruits and nuts. Blah, blah, blah. Well, half the fruits and nuts came out here from some other state. So maybe if the people had stopped pouring in here, we wouldn't have so many fruits and nuts. There used to be a bumper sticker that said, "Welcome to California, now go home." You know what? My sentiments exactly. God help this state, man. And God help us when this election. If you think 2000 was a cluster, you know what, brother? You ain't seen nothing yet. And why? Because of all of the freakos and weirdos and jackballs we got in this state. Everybody in the entertainment business wanting to run for governor so they can sell out the county fair, so they can promote their next porn flick, so they can promote another bit on the Rick D show, or whatever silly, stupid, jackass pursuit they're involved in. But actually help the state? No, who cares about that? That's why I'm throwing my hat into the ring for governor of the state of California, because somebody's got to make some sense out of this. It might as well be me. Well, it can't be me, because I can't make any sense out of it, but I'll pretend. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Our website, philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com. And now we'll go to the phones, and here is Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
I wanted to mention, you know, I think the government kind of pampered that story about the shoulder missile.
Turn your radio down, man. Turn your radio down.
It's off.
Okay, cool.
You know, they said it was a dud, you know. I don't think people would really risk their life to smuggle in a dud missile.
Well, how would they? Well, whatever. I mean, so the point is what?
That, you know, I think the government's, you know, they're telling
so the
public
fault.
That it was a dud, huh? So they don't get us all worked up, you know, and in a frenzy.
Well, all of a sudden it's the government we got to worry about? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just, the government's protecting the airlines.
The government's,
you know,
protecting
if
the airlines.
A real missile,
so in other words, the government's not doing anything for us. Is that it? They're not doing it. They're not doing their job, right? If they were really doing their job, they'd say it was a real missile. You know, are you telling me that it wasn't alarming enough to know that there was a guy trying to sell a missile?
No, but I just don't want him to lie. I mean, tell the truth.
What? How? You know what? I don't want Al Qaeda trying to kill us. That's what I'm more concerned with.
Same here.
Well, no, the first thing out of your mouth is about the government not telling the truth because, you know, they don't want to alarm us. And so, wait a second, man, are you telling me you're a little less likely to be afraid because the missile was a dud?
Well, I mean, it sounds more comforting if it's a dud. I mean, it couldn't have done anything.
Speaking of duds, here is Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
How you doing? You need to turn your radio down for me, Kathy,
okay,
if you don't mind.
We'll turn
Thank you.
It down.
All right.
It's gone.
Go ahead.
You know what? I was going to agree with you about the elections, but I have to back up. I'm from, born and raised in Southern California myself. I'm living in Florida, so I shouldn't really complain about the elections because we know what it's like down here, but I kind of agree with you. It's kind of crazy isn't it?
If you care about your state, you really care about your state. You realize that you're hurting the process and hurting the state by throwing your hat into the ring as some self-aggrandizing dumbass with a, you know, with a carnival act or a porn movie to promote or a disc jockey show to promote. This is ridiculous. It's we've got too many candidates. They can't get them all on the ballot. The people are confused. It's going to cost over $100 million because some porn actress and some, and this poor little Gary Coleman, who he didn't want to be governor, some real, you know, unimaginative person threw his name into the ring just to think he was being funny.
Phil.
Yeah.
Could we get you to run? Is there any chance at all?
I mean, after everything I just said, I'm going to run for governor. How are you listening to me?
You get my vote. You get my vote.
You're kidding, of course. But no, I'm not going to run for governor. And if it was up to me, any disc jockey or talk show host that ran for governor of the state of California would be taken out and beaten with a crowbar out in the street. You know,
well, I wouldn't want that to happen.
Yeah, I think that they could pass a law. Are you in radio? Yes, I am. Well, you're not running. Now, Ted Bell is running from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
There you go. Well, yeah. He'll get my vote then.
Yeah, he's on the platform More Meat for America. So
he's getting your vote, huh?
Okay. All right, Kathy, thanks.
You're a hoot.
Okay, bye. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run for governor. Oh, my God. Hi, everybody. This is the Dick and Ed Show. We're going to run for governor of California. Dick, we have the money in, and we're going to call the registrar. Yeah, you asses. Yeah, you qualified. Meanwhile, a state slowly, slowly, slowly goes in the toilet. The once great state of California, the once beautiful, beautiful and great state of California, sinking slowly into the toilet. And the only thing that's going to be left crawling the landscape here, porn filmmakers and street hustlers and scumbags, you know, mall trash and hill trash, and the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, I got just a quick note to Tara Reid, who is a beautiful young actress, 28 years old. She's stunningly beautiful. I want you to hear something, because you probably haven't heard this before. You are beautiful, even without those fake breasts. So, and I know I speak for millions of American men. Women with these breast jobs, it's the same looking breast over and over and over again. You don't need them. In fact, we'd rather see it with just the normal ones. Not me, of course. I'm a married man. But were I single, you walk into my apartment with fake breasts, sister, you're turning right around and going out. Yeah, right. Okay. What are those? Fake? Well, yeah, I had them done. Get the hell out of here. Now, if you go to our website, you will see a brand new window, a banner, and it's called Genius of the Week. Genius of the Week is a new special feature on our website, and the Genius of the Week will be an individual who has made a public comment that just is total brain surgery. The real stuff that you write down and you remember. You know, if you need a quote, you'll always think of our Genius of the Week quote. And ordinarily, I wouldn't tell you who's in our Genius of the Week banner. You'd have to go over there and look at it. But I want to talk a little bit about it because it's going to relate to one of my favorite topics, which I know many of you are, you know, makes you uncomfortable that we have done a very slow and probably very painful peeling away of the scab of professional sports. But believe me, it's going to feel better as things go on. Our Genius of the Week this week is the defensive lineman of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Simeon Rice, who we've been talking a little bit about over the last few months. Simeon was one of these guys, I mentioned, he put down Pat Tillman for going to Iraq, you know, a bunch of other stuff. Simeon said this in a recent issue of FHM, who, by the way, on the cover of which is Tara Reid. He said, in answering a question on the possibility of a female team member, he said, quote, she'd be getting herself pregnant by halftime, end quote. What a brain surgeon. What a genius. And so Simeon Rice is our Genius of the Week. She'd be getting herself pregnant by halftime. Now, not only does he sound like a dumbass, but immediately when we're talking about a female team member, we're not just talking about sex. She'd be getting herself pregnant by halftime. See, the one thing about those National Football League players, man, they see a woman, they be getting her pregnant by halftime, whether she wants it or not. Isn't that right, Simeon? Hey, Simeon! You stupid idiot. You stupid, stupid idiot. You're not national, Simeon. You're not national. And what do you mean you go back to the hood to talk to the fellas? What, are you going to give them advice on where to get their Rolls-Royce service? Is that it, huh? I bet you're one of those guys that drives the Rolls-Royce back to the hood and drives it through the jack-in-the-box to show that you're just like everybody else. Is that right, Simeon? And, of course, you can make comments like that. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the National Football League isn't going to do a thing about it. National Football League won't bust your chops. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneer organization, the ones that you work, they're not going to say anything. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if they had a brain, they'd take it out and play with it. And I don't care if they won a Super Bowl. I don't think it takes brain one to win a Super Bowl. Hire some decent human beings as employees who represent your organization. Now, that's something that takes a little bit of imagination. And you know and I know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers haven't got imagination enough to work up a bean fart. All you got to do is look at those uniforms. Buccaneers, pirate flag. Oh, I get it. Yeah, badass. You like your swashbucklers. Oh, okay. Gee. Neat. I think the Raiders already did that, though. You'll pardon me, but I think the Raiders have already gone down that road. So Simeon Rice says, is she hot? She'd be getting herself pregnant by halftime. Now that is, I would say, an ignorant, offensive comment to make. Now, the official program in the National Football League, the Sports Propaganda Ministry, which disseminates the bullcrap that you are force-fed by the sports talk show hosts and by the elite mouthpieces like Bob Costas and Al Michaels, because everybody has their job in the sports propaganda ministry. The sports talk show hosts, who are the lowest on the rung, they're the ones who are like the... Did you ever see Finding Nemo and the seagulls just went, mine, 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 mine? Those are the sports talk shows. Mine, mine, mine. They blather whatever they're told. You get up a little higher on the food chain, and you got the Bob Costases and the Al Michaels, and they're more refined. They wear the tie, they've got the brightly glossed teeth, and they come across as sincere and interested in the wonderful story that is sports. Now, the sports propaganda ministry will then say, well, Simeon Rice, we distance ourselves from those kinds of comments, but I'm sure that he was led on by the questioner, and I'm sure he was quoted out of context, and I'm sure that he thought they were playing with him. And in other words, their major job is to make excuses for the players. Why? Why? Well, the answer to that is very simple. Because the players, they have an enormous investment in. If they don't make excuses for the players, if they don't put the best possible gloss on the players, they lose money. So they have to, every step of the way, make excuses, even lie if they have to, for the players, to make them look like the best possible guys. Because any possibility that fans won't turn out to watch the games, buy the products, go through the turnstiles, or watch them on TV, any possibility of that means a dip in revenue, and a dip in revenue means a catastrophe. They can't have that. So they're not about to draw negative attention to themselves. And when a Simeon Rice says she be getting herself pregnant by halftime, making himself sound like such a classic clown, you'd laugh if it wasn't so freaking sad. Well, they have to start to kind of back it up. In the case of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they haven't said anything about it because that's what they do. They just don't say anything about it. They hope guys like me will go away. I talked to the Tampa Bay Buccaneer Public Relations Department. They, you know, these guys think that I just crawled out from underneath a rock last week. I've been in the business longer than half of those jerks have been alive, and I know how it works, and I know the flacks that work in those departments will just sort of put me off, and, you know, we're in camp, and we're in the season. I got big news for you clowns at the Tampa Bay Bucs, man. I ain't laying off of you 1 second, and you will. One of you are going to come on the air with me. And you're going to get your ass spanked just like I did to Mark Cuban. I'm sorry, but you take your medicine like a man and you'll go away a better person for it. Now, either the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in the person of the whatever the clown is that answers the phone in their media relations department, or Simeon Rice himself, or John Gruden, or somebody from that organization is going to come on here with me, and I'm going to ask him questions about the slob they got here in Simeon Rice, or that other slob Pittman, or that other slob Sapp, or that other slob Darren Smith, or whatever, whatever new slob comes out of the woodwork or out of the tile grout this week of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But you will answer the questions. Now, I know you're hoping that there will be an audience revolt. You're hoping that my audience will tell me, enough already, Phil. Lay off of the ballplayers. Go after the politicians. Because that's the standard line. You're hoping that Phil Henry will go away, the audience will desert me, because they don't want to hear me beat up on their favorite ballplayers. Well, I happen to be a sports fan. I'm as big a sports fan as anybody. I just know where to separate the game from the bullcrap that you guys keep shoveling. I know you're hoping that the audience will say to me, shut up, Henry, we don't listen to you. You know, I got a primarily a 25 to 54-year-old audience, a number one in men in half of the towns that I'm in, including Los Angeles, and so the guys listen to me, and you're hoping that they're going to say, no, 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 Henry, you're blowing it. You're going up against my guys. You can't do that. Now, you know what? I'm betting the other way. Now, you may be right, and if you're right, you're right. Ain't going to keep me from believing what I believe. I may not have a platform to do it anymore, but ain't going to keep me from believing what I believe. And I think as long as you allow stupid idiots like Simeon Rice, who just, you ought to read half of these quotes. What a moron. I mean, I'm not talking about a guy that I personally dislike necessarily. It's just he's a very dumb guy. I'm national, he says. I think the guy thinks he's got wit. Then he went on to say, I can hang out with movie stars and dignitaries. Pal, I think if you walked into a room full of dignitaries, somebody would hand you the keys to their car and say, park it. That's what I think the class that you emanate. So we'll see if we get Simeon Rice on the line with us. By the way, Simeon, big fan of your football playing, big fan of your football team. It's just when you guys open your mouths after the game is over and you talk about stuff other than football, that's when I really start to tighten up. That's when I go to work, man. That's when I crank on the chainsaw because I'm through. I'm through. I'm done being sold the story of the sports athlete, who outside of the game. I'm all done with that bullcrap. Ain't listening to it anymore, man. And I blame ABC with those Olympic profiles that they used to do. They're the guys that started it all with that piano music and Joe Brown had a dream. Ding, 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 ding. He wanted to be a distance runner. By the way, Simeon, if you want, I'll send my fax in crayon so you can read it. I'll send it in crayon so anybody at the Bucks can read it. You idiot. You idiot. If you're talking about my sister, I don't care how big you are. She'd be getting herself pregnant by halftime. Don't you have any respect at all for the kids that actually have made the colossal mistake of looking up to you? Don't you have any respect for them? Or are you just a Bull Brummel who goes his own way? And you know what? You ain't the one that asked them to watch you play football. You're just involved in a business, a multi-billion dollar business. And it's all about business. And you can't be, yeah, sure. You're a clown in the circus. Just like me, man. Just like me. Anyway, if you want, pick up FHM. I don't mind plugging a magazine. It's a damn good magazine. Read the interview with Simeon Rice. I think he thinks he's funny. He's not. But anyway, he's this week's Genius of the Week. 1-800-449-8686. And we'll be back to the phones, and we'll take some phone calls here for the next 45 minutes on The Phil Henry Show. Our email address, by the way, phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
We also got a... Get out of here with that. They also have an interview here with Jeremy Shockey of the Giants in FHM. And did he call Bill Parcells a what? He called him a homo or something? Well, in that instance, I agree with him. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Kat. Kat, hi.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
I'm just calling in regard to what you were saying to some of the players. I agree with you in some of the aspects that some of the players say some things that are not so, quote-unquote, intelligent. And however, I have to defend one of the players that I've spoken to on many occasions, who that would be Mike Allstott. He's a very, very intelligent guy, very nice person. He's done a lot of things for the community. He says, quote-unquote, the right things. He's a very nice person. He doesn't say or do, like, what you would say stupid things.
You know,
and I have to defend him, and
well,
that's why I called. So.
Sure, that's cool. That's good. You know what I say when people tell me things like that? I say, hey, you know, my wife is a good person. She does great things. You know, my friends are great people. They do great things. For some reason, when people talk about football players doing great things, it's like bigger than life. It's like greater than great. It's more important than the good things that are done all around us every day. What I have found, and I don't doubt for a second that Mike Allstott isn't a great guy.
Right.
What I have found is that the sports machine enhances what is dishonest and diminishes what is honest, meaning that they enhance, over-enhance, things that may not quite be true, like a guy is a great guy. I mean, Mike Allstott's a great guy, but he ain't perfect.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that he's perfect.
Right.
I'm just saying he
but let's,
is.
But let's go to the other side of that.
He's a nice guy.
Sure,
he's a great
sure.
guy. I sit near him at the hockey games.
No,
I get to talk to him so much.
Yeah,
and
I don't
he
doubt
does,
it.
Like, a lot of things for the community and stuff. And
so
he's
do a
stand-up
people.
Guy.
He, yeah, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
When the little kids come up to him and say, Mike, can I have your autograph and stuff, you know, he doesn't snub them off. He makes sure that he stays after all of the games, and he signs all the autographs and stuff. He never says anything negative to any of the people. He makes sure he stays, and he shakes everybody's hands and stuff. And he's always there to, you know, to talk to everybody. He's just a really super guy.
Well, but do you know him?
I mean, I know him, like, on an acquaintance basis, but not, like, you know, personal
right.
basis. I have a friend that lives, like, a couple of houses away from him.
See, here's the thing. I've noticed this when people meet a celebrity more than once, they feel like they know them. And the fact is, you really don't. But that's okay. Let's say he's a great guy, okay? The sports machine goes out of its way to promote and to enhance wherever they can find a positive. And where there are negatives, they mitigate it, they put a lid on it, they diminish it, they minimize it, they go out of their way to lie about it. That's the part that I don't like. And as much of a nice guy as Mike Allstott is, there's plenty of folks like that. They don't get any publicity. They don't get any props at all. And, you know, I'm tired of football players being singled out as the only guys that do anything good. And when they do something bad, well, they're just a microcosm of society. That's all
no,
I'm saying.
No, I agree with you, absolutely. I mean, I'm just saying that, yes, there are a lot of bad apples, but it just seemed like you were just kind of picking on my own team, and I wanted to call and defend, you know, there are a couple of good guys on the team.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, I agree 100% with what you were saying. I think that what was said in that magazine interview was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the guy made himself. I'm in college 16 years, and for how many degrees? And I don't use any of the terminology and vocabulary of an idiot.
That's
just absolutely absurd.
I got to get going though. But thank you for your call.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Right.
I love your show.
And
Phil.
Don't forget, Kat, go Dolphins.
But,
no,
okay.
Anyway,
bye.
Bye. Here is Scott. Scott, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Good evening, Phil.
Hi.
I'll start with my gratuitous compliments, please. I think your show's important, both aspects, the comedy and the seriousness of it. You really were my media beacon through the Iraq war madness. You're the only one that I could really listen to and trust at that point and to put things in perspective. I agree with your opinions on most of those professional sports people. I just am wondering why you're on a personal crusade against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Personal? What do you mean?
Well,
personal?
I mean, I should say you're focusing.
Well, there's
on
so
that.
Many of them. My God, Pittman, Sapp. These guys are in the news every week. But
yeah, well,
I've been banging on Kobe. I've been talking about who's the guy that I ripped an ass 2 days ago. It was Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks. I've talked about Dennis Rodman. I've talked about the Miami Dolphins. I've had another scumbag go south on some marijuana charge. Well, it wasn't. It was more than that. It was a weapons charge.
At great length, you have mentioned this, and it's opened up a lot of eyes, I assure you. But it I guess as the previous caller, mega dittos to the previous caller. Why are you doing the Bucks?
Because they're all over the news, Scott. They're all over the news. Mike Pittman, is he going to go to Japan? Will he get a judge to allow him to go to Japan? The wife this, the wife that. Warren Sapp's just settled with another woman because he's got a baby out of wedlock. You got this
absolutely
guy, Simeon
disgusting.
Rice, with a quote. You got this kid, Darren Smith, waving a gun in traffic and then speaking in front of elementary school kids. I don't hear the Tampa Bay Buccaneers saying one word about it. The Bucks are an example of what's wrong with the whole league. So if it sounds like I'm banging on the Bucks, it's only because they just happen to be the team of the moment. I'm sure there's going to be other teams that'll be in the limelight, but they're an example of the National Football League's bullcrap machine, which overstates overstates the obvious and tries to minimize the negatives. And that's the thing. It's not, I don't have a thing personally against the Bucks. I mean, they're just typical.
Yeah.
They're typical. I mean, they lay a lot of crap out to you, the fan. They don't mind jacking the price on a ticket, jacking the price on concessions. You're supposed to swallow all of it because they're a Super Bowl champion team. You're supposed to swallow everything. Any outrage, any crime, any increase in tickets, increase in concessions. You are supposed to take it all so long as they put a winner on the field. And I think that I think you're getting screwed, man, in the deal.
Personally. All right, Phil. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, here we go. This one happens every 10 years, and every time there's a recession, this story happens. Now, I know the guy that wrote this story, the lady that wrote this story, Stephanie Armour, believes that she's probably writing an original story. But every 10 years, when there is a recession, this story comes out. Here it is. As Americans filed for bankruptcy in record numbers and credit card debt explodes, more workers are a paycheck away from losing their homes. Now the frail economy is pushing them over the edge with 9 million, and of course the figure changes, with 9 million unemployed workers in July, the face of homelessness is changing to include more families shaken by joblessness. Every 10 years that we have a recession, and it's about every 10 years, the last big recession we had was 90, 91, 92. Then we had one in 81, 82. The 70s, I think we might have had a couple, but I remember the one in the early 70s because I was working construction at the time, and we all, lost our gigs because, the construction in Orlando started to slow down. They talk about homeless families because of the economy. Ladies and gentlemen, people are not homeless because of the economy. Anybody that allows themselves to slide into homelessness is emotionally disturbed. Now, I'm not saying they're bad, and I'm not saying they're substance abusers. I'm saying that they have emotional problems. They're depressed. I'm sorry, it just doesn't happen. And don't tell me this bullcrap about I've been unemployed. This is the one area of life where nobody can claim expertise. We're all in it together, baby, and there ain't a one of us that hasn't been out of a job, and for a long time, I've been out of work. I've been fired. I've been laid off, whatever you want to call it. I've been broke. I told my story to a group of young broadcasters, and I said, hi, I'm Phil, I'm an alcoholic, and I said, I told it to a bunch of kids in Atlanta, young broadcasters, I said, Jesus, before I got into talk radio, I was broke, I didn't have any money. I was busted into my penny jar, man. I was not paying my rent. Well, I moved. Guess what? I moved into another apartment. I wasn't living on the street. I went out and I got a job. Now, I'm not saying these are lazy people. I don't buy that. And I'm not saying they're substance abusers. I don't necessarily buy that. They have a problem dealing with life. It's called emotional imbalance. It's called emotional instability. It's called cuckoo, whatever you want to call it. That's what it's called. So would you stop already with the stories about how more people are homeless because of the economy? More people may be homeless because they're stressed out over the economy and they don't know what to do. They're lost. They're frozen. We've seen it. But it ain't about the economy. It's about the fact that we got, you know, a lot of people who are just they're incapable of taking care of themselves in a crisis. And I'm not making a moral judgment on them. I'm just saying that's the facts, Jack. So stop already, okay? I guess when the next recession comes up, what do you figure, 2010? Here's another story. Yes, homelessness is on the rise because of the... you don't know what it's like, Henry. You know, I don't know what it's like, huh? Yeah, you're sitting there fat and happy in your radio job. Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. So I just started out fat and happy, right? You know, I just got into the life, and as soon as I popped out of... I was sleeping on a couch my senior year because, you know, I was living in a one-room apartment with my mother and sister. But hey, you know what? I've had it great. And I jumped right into radio, man, and I was making seven figures when I was 19. Yeah, that's right. That's me. I've never been out of work. I know all the places where you can get a 59-cent drink. That's how not out of work I've been. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, what's going on?
Oh, man.
Hey, in regards to the Simeon Rice deal, I couldn't help but draw a parallel between Simeon Rice and yourself.
I see.
Well, with Simeon Rice, he plays football very well, and he used that solely to get where he's at now, and now he has a platform where he has access to microphones, you know, and he's watched and he's listened to with his opinion, right, wrong, or indifferent, and it's, I agree, it's wrong.
So his job is broadcasting now, you're saying?
No, I'm just saying that he now has a voice that's listened to.
Wait a minute.
But
he's
not
a football player, right?
Yes.
Oh.
But, I mean, he did, but the same way you did, or you do shtick very well.
I'm a broadcaster. This is my job. I sit down in front of a microphone every day. I don't play football and then go to a microphone, and I'm not on a microphone, and then I don't go play football. This is the job that I have been hired to do, to be a commentator, to be a comic, to be a satirist. This is my job. When I leave here, you don't have to deal with Phil Hendry ever again. I leave here, I go home, and you never hear from me, you don't see me, nothing. Then I come back, I turn on the microphone, and you hear me again. With these guys... It's not only on the football field. When they open their big, fat, stupid mouths when someone puts a microphone in front of it, then they're doing something that they're not trained to do. They're okay. Not trained to be humorists or satirists. They're football players. They're not personalities. And so they are now in an area of life that they're completely and totally inexperienced with, and they wind up sounding stupid. And sounding ignorant and sounding, frankly, in this case, she'd be getting pregnant by halftime. He sounds like a borderline criminal. You know?
I completely
see what
agree.
I'm saying? That's
the difference. It was with the shtick.
Well, Mike,
all
I know,
you
I,
did because
Mike, I know where you're going with this, man. You're a longtime listener, and you remember when I did shtick, and now I'm opening and I'm giving opinion, and you're saying that I'm not qualified, okay?
No, I appreciate the commentary. I actually like it as an addition, you know, to the show. I really do.
Okay, then I spoke
but it was
soon.
With it was the shtick that got you this.
It's always
and it
been
was
a
the
part
football
of
that got Simeon
wrong.
Where he can do what he can do, right, wrong, or different,
you're
and
wrong.
I agree.
You're
he
wrong.
Sounds like a
you're wrong, and you're making a common mistake. You're making a common mistake. You are making the mistake that a lot of people make, which is Simeon Rice is entitled to the microphone and to be a personality, in other words, to be taken seriously as a personality.
No, he's not entitled to anything.
Well,
I'm
then
just
I don't see that. I don't see the parallel at all. He's a professional football player. That's
his
job.
Football ability that got him to where he is, where he's able to do this. And
well,
I'm not
right,
saying
if
he's
you're saying
entitled
saying,
to it.
You're saying he's famous, and so therefore people listen to him. Fine. And I'm famous, and I'm sort of famous, not as much as him, and people listen to me, and I guess that's fine. I'm just saying that I'm staying within my medium. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
He's not staying within his medium. And this is typical to jocks. they get so much praise heaped on them that they begin to fantasize that they're actually witty and wise men, and that they're very funny, because they've got a lot of sycophant reporters that sit there and giggle at their really bad jokes, and they think, wow, maybe I, like, Dennis Rodman is a great example of a guy who I bet you he thinks he's really funny. And in point of fact, he's a freak show that whose act, you know, his act is worn out, and he's a kind of a pathetic guy now.
Well, Dennis Rodman, he's funny to look at. It's one of those, we're laughing at you, not with you.
I don't know if Dennis gets that, though, you know? And Simeon Rice, you know, he can say what he wants, and I have the right to say what I want about him. And I've seen too many of these jocks with their big, fat, stupid mouths saying their stupid things, and the minute you comment on it, they get upset. They get pissed off. I've had experience with it. I've been sued for saying something about a professional football player who ran his mouth, and then the whole sports propaganda ministry backs him up, and I'm a piece of crap because I'm just a lowly radio commentator.
Well, and maybe as a sidebar, what university did he graduate where their graduates can come out and say, she be getting pregnant by halftime?
I don't know. Probably anyone in the United States. But thank you very much for calling, Mike. It's a great time talking to you. 1-800-449-8686. I got a particular problem with broadcast jocks, too. These guys that come into my business. I love them. I was over Fox News one day, and I'm looking at this guy, Warren Moon. Now, I already got a problem with him because he was beating up his wife, too. Warren Moon has got all the personality of a mailbox, and they're going to make him into a broadcaster, huh? So in other words, they think so little of the business that I've given 30 years of my life to, and a lot of people have given a lot of years of their lives to. They're going to import these dumbass athletes now to sit in front of a microphone and pretend like they're broadcasters. Well, I got big news for you. I got big news. Now, maybe the rest of the guys in my business don't want to say anything, but I got big news for you, jock. You got to fetch my coffee. These sports stations, they love to hire these guys. Well, yeah, he knows all about the sport. And the next thing you know, these guys are comics. You know, Joe Theismann. No, I don't know, the guy's in the booth and he's talking about football. Next thing you know, he's doing Igloo Cooler commercial. Phil Sims. Boomer Esiason. And there's another guy. He's a real wit. You're going to come into my business, the broadcasting business, and sit behind a microphone and suddenly tell me how it is? Let me tell you something, pal. You're going to go fetch my coffee. I'm not going to give you any respect. Now, maybe ABC and NBC and CBS and Fox, maybe they kiss your ass up one side and down the next and send a limousine for you every Sunday, man, to send you off to another ballgame. As far as I'm concerned, man, you go get my laundry. you go fetch my shirt, son. And you put in a few years before you, I consider you to be my equal in any sense of the word. Now, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be arrogant, but those of you listening to me right now, if you're in a business that you've given a lot of years to, you're a craftsman in whatever it may be, and you have a lot of respect for your business, you know what I'm talking about. If you see somebody just all of a sudden just waltz right in, like the boss's son or the boss's daughter, who's going to tell you how it is, right? You know what I'm talking about. And you resent that. And you have every right in the world to resent that. And you have every right in the world to expect respect from these wannabes and these rookies. So that's what I say to those guys, not that they're listening, okay? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Have we beaten this one into the ground, or we still... What's up with Kobe Bryant, man? Is he... Yeah, there's another thing going on with Kobe. Oh, God, I got to go into the Kobe file, because there's one other thing going on with that poor, sorry son of a gun. Apparently, I don't think it's all that big of a thing. Racist flyers have been scattered around the city of Eagle, Colorado, advising people not to have sex with blacks. And there are a lot of people who are, including the white supremacist group that spread them, saying that it has to do with the Kobe Bryant case. Well, you stupid white boys, you know, you've always been stupid, but you're outdoing yourselves now. So, in other words, what you want to do is see Kobe walk, because what you're doing, I don't know whether Kobe's guilty or innocent, but I assume you guys think that he's guilty just because you hate black people. Now, if you'd like to see the guy put in jail, you're doing exactly the wrong thing, because you're fueling his defense, and the defense claims that this has turned racial, or that the charges were racially motivated. So, nice going, dumbass white man. Oh, my God. By the way, the worst sports commentator ever? Who's the worst sports jock ever? Guys that came off the field and sat down at a microphone. Deion Sanders? You know, Deion Sanders is kind of compelling for me. I don't know, but he's... Shaq doesn't do commentary, does he? I'm talking about commentary on television or radio. Jocks that do commentary on television or radio. There have been some pathetic ones, man. I've tried to put them out of my mind. How about Fernando Valenzuela? He does Dodger play-by-play on the Spanish network. I'm pretty sure he sucks, but I don't speak Spanish, so I can't say for sure. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'll tell you, it was terrible. Eric Dickerson. Poor Eric. And, you know, I was a Rams season ticket holder through the through the entire decade of the 80s, and I watched Eric Dickerson as a Los Angeles Ram running back. And, boy, I'll tell you, after, you know... After this, the team stinking it up in the early 80s, man, it was great to see him. Then he gets on ABC, and it's like, it ain't too good. I know that he tried. I know he tried very hard, but it's a tougher gig than most people think. In fact, it's way tougher than everybody thinks. I'll tell you who was really horrible, and I mean horrible. Bill Russell was a great center when he played with the Boston Celtics. Put him in front of a microphone. He was horrific. He couldn't make a point. You know, basketball is a fairly quick-moving sport. This guy, it took him six buckets to make a point about the first one that was scored. Well, what do you think about that? But, well, I'll tell you. You see, what he did was, and meanwhile, 18 more baskets have been scored. To the point where I don't care about what you just said. Bill Walton is, he thinks he's Mr. Controversial. He blows. He's not making any point about anything. There's nothing worse than a guy that thinks he's controversial, and he's not controversial at all. Hey, Walton, you want to be controversial? Start calling out somebody's scumbags in your sport instead of you saying, I think he's made a really big mistake. I would never go one-on-one with that guy. And I... Another guy that was really bad, he was a brilliant coach, but he was horrible as a commentator, Bill Walsh, who was the coach of the San Francisco 49ers and obviously an accomplished football coach. But when he got behind a microphone, he stunk. I mean, he stunk. And he was another guy that tried too hard. And then you have the Schtickmeisters, you know, John Sally. You ain't funny, John. You're not funny, man. Dennis Rodman. I know you think you're funny, but you're more of a freak than anything else, Dennis, and your act has worn out a long time ago, man, a long time ago. You know, move on, you're off the stage, no one cares. Another athlete that sucks, Dennis Miller. Now, I'm kidding. I think. No, he's okay. All right, it's time now for our R.C. Collins email. We'll take one more phone call after that. R.C. is sick. I think he has Ebola, so he's not with us right now. Now, as you know, R.C. Collins is asking for your opinion. Should Kobe Bryant pay that woman off in Colorado or not? Dear R.C., you poise an interesting slant to the Kobe Bryant case. I agree Kobe should pay the mountain trash to get her off his back. Besides, we all know she wanted it, right? I mean, a little matter of consent is no big deal when it comes to an athlete like Kobe. Did you see the ring Kobe boughted for his wife? Boughted, that's a joke that the guy's making because R.C. talks that way. He putted her in the same class as the mountain trash he hooked up with in Colorado. Good point. You're a genius, R.C. The way to a woman's heart is through a man's wallet. When you get to Iraq and put Saddam Hussein's head on a stick, make sure to call Phil's show. Leper Phi, J.R. Moldenauer. That's cool, man. Leper Phi. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Keith. Hi, Keith.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Well, I think you're pretty right in most things, and I'd love to hear your opinion anyway because you get so fired up, but I think you ought to be very flattered that these million-dollar athletes want to be commentators, and I think we need to be bashing Fox, ESPN, for putting their mugs on TV to think that we're idiots as viewers or we're going to watch just because they got Troy Aikman or Harold Reynolds who can't talk into a microphone. We're going to watch their show because of that. I think you need to
Yeah, I mean, I watch football for football, and it doesn't matter to me who they got in the booth. It just doesn't matter. You know, a good example of that, man, is what's happening on Monday night. Hey, you know what? Al Michaels is not all that compelling. John Madden was more fun on Sunday. He was just more fun after you got done eating breakfast to turn on old John and have a beer and listen to him just fart and belch and make his comments, you know? The networks don't get it at all. We watch to watch the game, okay?
What about the women they have doing that now?
Well, I'd rather see the women, frankly. In fact, I do like Al Michaels. He's my favorite woman.